Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you once again, whether you're joining us Sunday in the live chat, as we do this live at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, or you're catching us on the recorded version on Monday. Thank you very much for spending the time with us. We're glad to have you. And appreciate you spending an hour with us each week. It means a lot to us. Yeah. And real fast, if you are wanting more of us, God help you, you can find lots more out of us at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. Also, wherever your finer podcasts are sold, including iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the pod places, the pod peoples, all that stuff, we're there too. So feel free to catch us there.
Okay.
And while you're at hauntweekly.com, definitely take a moment to check out our COVID-19 page while we're there. Through this pandemic and everything going on, the business we're about, if you will, we have been compiling links and resources, and it's a mixture of things. It can be cool things you can do for inspiration from the comfort of your home. There's a link to taking a virtual tour of the Paris Catacombs. There's a link to taking a virtual tour of the Muter Museum in there.
Right.
So a lot of neat stuff in there like that, but also actual practical resources, things like Japes put the Barbicide training in there. That's useful. And most recently, we've updated it with the Fear Factory's COVID-19 contingency plan, which we're going to talk a bit more about in just a minute, and a link to the talk they did with Haunt Connect, and it's put on by the HauntCon people. Put that link in there too. Now, I did not go to that talk live.
Right.
Saturday was a bad day for me in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to tune in, but for some reason I could not hear it, even with speakers plugged in. So, with headphones.
Huh. So. Interesting.
I don't know. But I did see that it was recorded, so it should be.
Yeah, you can
available.
Go back and watch it. There's a link to that live recording. You have to register. And you also have to, with the COVID, with the Fear Factory COVID plan, you have to give your name and email address too. But you can access those things and many, many more on the COVID-19 page, hauntweekly.com/COVID-19, no dash, one word, all lowercase. Or just go to the COVID-19 link at the top of hauntweekly.com. That's more your flavor. So lots of neat stuff there. And once again, always join us if you can, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. As we do these episodes live every Sunday. Love having you. Love the chat. Things seem boisterous and busy. I'm watching Crystal try to keep up. Crystal is the chat monitor, updater. I have to run the video stuff. So basically, I don't get to do anything other than look at the video screen. Which means I get to stare at myself awkwardly for about an hour.
Yeah, I get to do that for hours on end now since working from home.
Yeah, that is the thing. It's like with Zoom and all that, we've all gotten like weirdly comfortable looking at ourselves for extended periods of time.
I don't know if comfortable is the right word.
Used to?
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
Anyways.
We should be at least.
Definitely, though, keep that in mind. All right, since we've been doing these live, we have a question for the audience every week.
Mm-hmm.
This week is no different. And this is one I put in because I've been curious about this for a while.
Right.
What is your favorite haunt food or haunt snack? What do you like to eat while you're haunting?
Yeah.
Or right before you're haunting, or right before you go out there, or whatever. Whenever it's appropriate. But what's your favorite food do you connect with haunting?
Yeah.
And I know for me, because Ellie does our food for our haunt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get some really goddamn good haunt food.
We do.
We have probably the best haunt food in the city.
We have really good food. Yeah.
I am very fond of Ellie's meat on a stick.
Yeah.
Various varieties of meat on a stick.
Right.
But is meat on a stick often steak, like steak kebab on a stick and things like that?
Right. Steak and chicken.
Steak and chicken. But meat on a stick is yummy, and it is great because you can just grab one by the stick, go take your place, chew on it, then all you got to do is dispose of the stick.
Right.
Which we have to talk to some of our actors about disposing of your goddamn sticks appropriately.
Yeah, well, you know, we've started negating that issue by putting more trash cans.
We're doing our part, but no, it was just funny because the first year we had it, we're like, why are all these sticks?
There are hidden pointy things everywhere.
My God, there's like 800 of these damn things here. Going through our tiny ass haunt. So yeah, what is your favorite haunt food / snack? What food do you associate with haunting? I'm very, very curious about that.
Yeah. And for mine, I'm actually going to agree with my brother. He's in the chat. The pork buns that Ellie makes.
Oh, yeah,
really
the bao.
Good. Yeah.
Bao, chicka, bao, bao.
Yeah, it's like a bao. It's a roll filled with...
It's white girl bao, she calls
yeah,
it. Yeah. But that's how she phrases it.
Filled with barbecue pork.
It's
really good.
But it's like a biscuit bun more than a...
Yeah.
Like, if you actually get bao, it's a very soft, doughy bun. This is... I don't want to say hard, but it's more like a biscuit.
Yeah.
It's still very soft, but it's not doughy.
No.
It's firm.
No, but it's homemade bread, usually
so
with the meat stuff in it.
Yeah,
it's,
meat. Like it's really good. That is really
now,
good.
Now, whenever we're building, we do a lot of late night runs to McDonald's.
Yeah. During, like, September, like, when we're doing the actual build, August, September, and October, oftentimes we find ourselves, we'll be out here until, like, midnight or 1 a.m. or so. And realize, shit, we got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
We got things we have to do in tomorrow.
Or shit, we've been working for hours and hours out here. And
we skipped dinner or we only grabbed a handful of peanuts or something for dinner. And like we need food and we don't feel like making anything. And the only thing that's really open near us at that time is usually McDonald's.
Yeah.
McDonald's or BK. So we have a 24-hour McDonald's and a 24-hour Burger King within spitting distance of us. And so, yeah, we're usually at one of those. We, like, haunts, like, the build season is traditional Big Mac season for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be great because it would coincide with the Monopoly game when they still had the Monopoly game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So we got pretty baller at the McDonald's Monopoly game for a time there. Never really won anything good.
Yeah,
but
not winning money, baller.
Yeah,
there
not
were
winning
some
money.
Some people that, you
know. Apparently, after watching that documentary, we found out why.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't our fault we didn't win anything. We tried our best.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, this week's topic is 10 businesses your haunt should look at partnering with. And I'm very excited about this topic. We've been talking about variations of this for a while, so we're kind of consolidating and bringing it together in one place. Businesses that you may want to strike deals with and collaboration with. But before we jump into that, I wanted to highlight the Fear Factory contingency plan and the talk. Well, I mentioned them with regard to the COVID-19 page.
Right.
But I want to call them out again and say I've downloaded the plan. I've read through it. I want to say I've read every single word, but I've looked through it and seen what's in it and what advice it is. And it looks very, very good. And I've been reading the posts and the excitement about it. And basically, people are very happy that a haunted attraction was able to open, do so as safely as possible. I don't want to say anything is safe. We went to a bar today to hang out for the first time in 90 days.
Right.
But I still wouldn't. We did it as safely as possible, but I would not say it was safe.
Right. Yeah. Well, it started out fairly safe because there was nobody outside in the patio area with us.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, the problem wasn't the bar. The problem was the other patrons.
Yeah, exactly.
And that often is the case. Like I know the owners of this bar; they're great people, and they're going to make their shit right. They're going to do their shit right. But some of their customers, a little pushy about trying to violate that social distance. I love you too, man, but 6 feet. You know?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I know we haven't seen you in a while.
6 feet, motherfucker. Okay. 6 feet. But anyways, the plan looks really good, but I want to make a note. Everyone, we have to keep focused. Here's the thing. I actually looked at the plan. The plan is the one they released.
Right.
It's version 6.
Yeah.
Now, to put that in perspective, they only started working on it like 6 weeks ago.
Right. So that means in 6 weeks they changed it 6 times.
And we actually made a quip about how it went from like 7 pages to 12 pages to 15 pages to 30 pages.
Now it's a book.
Now it's a novel. I think it's good. I think it's maybe somebody got the movie rights to it.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, if that plan has changed that much, we can't look at this as a solved problem. It's a very good plan. I'm not knocking it, I'm not dissing it, I'm not deriding it. It's a very good plan. They did as well as they could, but you have to remember it's a very good plan for their haunt in Salt Lake City in late May, early June.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so your haunt in a different city is going to be in a very different position come September, October, or whenever you open.
Right.
So keep your eyes on the ball. Get it. Read it. Definitely read it.
Mm-hmm.
Do not think I'm saying don't look at it. No, definitely look at it. But just understand that you have to be flexible and realize this situation's in super flux.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. I mean, we're starting to see new cases come into the state again.
Yeah.
I think we've had 500 new cases this week.
Yeah, Texas, next door to us,
yeah,
just hit a new record for new COVID cases in one day. South Carolina, where my parents live, now became a hot spot, including the county my parents live in. And I'm 40. They're not spring chickens.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have me as a little babies, you know.
No, it's a worry.
It's a worry because they are in that group that is definitely in the worst position here should they catch it. So I'm hoping that they're being smart, not licking doorknobs and crap like that.
Yeah.
I'm having to put my faith in them, but if they get sick and die of COVID, I'm going to be cross. I'll be quite cross.
Yeah.
But yeah, seriously, guys, think about how you're going to adapt and change and what you can alter and move forward with. It could be a situation where we can't open in September. It could be the second wave. We could be all fuckered.
Right.
Could happen. Or it could be we have a much more normal season than this plan articulates. So just understand it is not a solved problem. Some people seem to be giving it like, they fixed it. They did it. It's over. We solved COVID.
No.
It's a very good plan, not knocking it. It is exactly what we needed right now in terms of a starting point, but it is a starting point.
Right.
And listen to your local officials, for the love of God.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see in another week or two since they're opening what happens in their area.
Yeah. And, I mean, and since Salt Lake City never really was much of a hotspot to my knowledge,
mm-hmm.
And they're already, I think, in stage two or three. We just hit stage two in New Orleans. It's how we went to a bar today.
Yeah, exactly.
We hit stage two yesterday. Had my first pint of proper Guinness in 3 fucking months.
Mm-hmm.
I missed you, Daddy. I missed you so bad. But yeah, seriously. And one thing that I found interesting is the Fear Factory plan included a lot of information from the state of Utah, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly reasonable, logical. But one of the things is that Utah's plans include having impacts of coronavirus all the way through March 2022.
That makes a lot of sense, though.
It does. But just to give you an idea of the long haul we're in for here, it isn't going to be just the 2020 season that will feel impacts.
No.
2021 will, too. This is not over, and this is not a solved problem. So just be prepared to pivot and make changes, guys.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, and for, because we brought it up, Salt Lake County has 5,300-ish cases and 74 deaths.
Okay. So that's doing better than New Orleans is.
Yeah.
I know that, because I know our death total is much higher.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they also have half of the deaths for the entire state.
See, so yeah, Utah itself doesn't seem to be much of a hot spot.
Right.
And I think a lot of that is that we're a very tourism-based economy here.
Mm-hmm.
So we get our cooties from elsewhere in the country. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the challenges. Like New York has the same problem, and California does too. You have these heavy tourism-based economies, and yeah, you get your cooties from people traveling there.
Yeah.
All right, so anyways, one of the things we've been talking about a lot over the course of the past 236 episodes is that haunts do better when they partner with other businesses.
Yeah.
It's just a truth. No haunt, no business is an island unto itself, but no haunt especially, because haunted attractions in general are these mass market businesses. You need to get a lot of warm bodies through that haunt to make money. And so that means you need a lot of people from the community to go to it. And as a result of that, you need support from the community. And one of the best ways to get support from the community is to partner with other businesses. Because basically, a rising tide lifts all boats in this area. If you can help better integrate yourself with the community and also strengthen, you know, other businesses in the area, everyone is helped.
Right. Networking pays off.
Yes, it does. I mean, because I've been to haunts where the haunted attraction is viewed as this weird business that just kind of is there and opens up in October, and the locals really don't know what to make of it, if anything.
Yeah, they show up for Halloween, but they don't really think about it any other time of the year.
Yeah, they're not really working with them. It's just kind of there. And then I've seen communities, and we've talked about communities on news episodes, where the haunt is integral.
Yeah.
The haunt is a core business to that community. It's a key part. And like a good example that we've been to is Raven's Grin Inn.
Yeah, exactly.
Mount Carroll is basically built around Jim Warfield's work.
Yeah.
It's very, very insane work. But yeah, so Mount Carroll is heavily dependent upon him, and they work together very well, and he has strong relationships with other businesses in the area.
Right, and while I think one of those the reasons that he's so integral is because he is year-round.
Yeah.
So that is a good year-round example of working together with the community.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though he did have some troubles in the beginning.
Yeah.
The community didn't like him in the beginning.
Well, yeah, the skeleton punk rock hearse thingy that he has in park
is awesome.
It's awesome, but it's parked in the town square 24/7.
Yeah.
I can see why some members of the community, considering it's a community so small they don't even get cell signal.
Yeah, no.
Might not like that. But yeah. But a good partnership, like I said, helps everyone. It adds value to your attraction. It gives you a chance to offer your customers more without you having to expand your haunt or add things to your haunt. And it basically gives people, ideally, a more complete evening. One of the challenges haunted attractions face is unless you have a giant haunted screen park or a multi-hour queue, you're not a complete evening to most people.
No.
Like, we're able to go to 3 to 4 haunts in one evening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just an example. So what else are people going to do? Going to a haunted attraction is not necessarily a substitute to dinner and a movie. It might be an addition to it, but not a substitute for it. So basically, we're coming up with 10 suggestions to other businesses that haunts should partner with.
Yeah.
That's what this episode's about.
Exactly.
You ready to kick it off?
I am.
Okay. Well, take the first one. You're busy with Chad, I can tell.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay, the first one is the obvious one. To me, it's the obvious one anyways.
Yeah.
Other haunts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why so few haunts seem to really do this, but other haunts are not your competition.
Right.
It's other activities that are your competition. What you need to worry about isn't that someone's going to go to a haunt and not yours. Few people go to just one haunt. If they're going to go to a haunt, they're not going to go just to one haunt usually.
Well, it depends. Yeah.
It depends, but yeah.
I would say it depends on the pricing of the haunts in the area.
And also how long the season is. They may do one haunt a night, but not one haunt per season typically.
Right, exactly.
So yeah, other haunts are not your competition. The other activities they could be doing are the competition. They could stay home and watch horror movies on Netflix for free.
Yeah.
For the cost of their Netflix account that they already have.
Exactly.
They could do that. You know, they could go to a movie. They could literally do just about anything other than going to haunted attractions. That's the competition.
Right.
So, yeah, people do go to multiple haunts in a night or over the course of a season. Let's reward that. Let's reward our diehard customers. And there's a great example here locally, the Haunted House VIP system, which basically what happens is if you go to 13th Gate, Rise, or the Mortuaries, I think those are the three big ones involved.
Mm-hmm.
You go, you get a general admission, you get a punch card that you take to the other two haunts for an upgrade to VIP.
Yeah, and that's really sweet for us especially.
Yeah, so we're able to rock up to Rise or whatever and say, here's our Haunted House VIP card and our admission ticket, let us in, and they'll do it. And that's a simple thing. It costs these haunts next to nothing to do it.
Right.
I mean, it costs them literally whatever it costs to print those cards.
Mm-hmm.
and set up a very basic website.
Well, not only that, but whenever we were talking to owners in the area, they share all of that.
Yeah.
The charges for all of that. So they share the charges for the printing of those VIP tickets, the punch cards. They share radio ads now because, you know, why not?
Well, and that makes a lot of sense because it's cheaper for three people to buy 300 hours of radio advertising time or something like that. I'm just using round numbers here. Then for each of them to individually buy 100.
Yeah, exactly.
You save money by pooling your advertising resources, and you can do some pretty awesome things with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's another good point, nothing else to consider. But, yeah, even just doing cross-promotion with other haunts is a good thing. And we have to get in. The few people that still have that mentality of the other haunts of the competition need to get over that in a hurry.
Yeah.
Because that's not true.
Right.
All right. Item two.
All right. Item two. Area hotels.
Yeah.
Says, you know, not every... This isn't going to be one of those suggestions that's right for everybody.
No.
I mean, if you know that most of your customers are locally based mm-hmm. and don't have to travel to get to you, then this obviously isn't for you. But if you are somewhere that's more touristy, then partner with local hotels.
Or you're a larger attraction that gets people from further afield.
Exactly.
I mean, I would have loved, like, for the Haunts in Lafayette to partner with a hotel.
Oh, me too.
Because that's... I mean, think about it. From us here in New Orleans, it's 2.5 hours to Lafayette. So basically, go 2.5 hours to Lafayette, go to a haunt or two, and then we've got 2.5 hours on the way back.
Yeah.
That's a brutal evening.
It is. And so we try to combine that with other visits when we can. But, yeah, that is... It's very difficult to go there and then get back, especially after a long week of
haunt
work
usually.
And haunt work.
Yeah.
You know.
It's so. Very draining. It would have been nice if we had, like, a discount at an area hotel.
Right.
Or some kind of deal there. Mm-hmm. And could have just stayed the night and went on first thing in the morning refreshed.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have appreciated that, but that's never happened. I've never seen a haunt partner with a hotel that I'm aware of.
No.
But it makes a lot of sense to do it if people are traveling to your haunt.
Right, and it doesn't make... you don't even have to be that big of a haunt to get people from all over.
No.
So just keep that in mind.
And that's one thing to remember is that, especially if you're in a city, people will travel from way out in the goddamn boonies to come to the city.
Yeah.
They'll do things like travel 2.5 hours to the city to go to your haunt.
Right.
Because that's what people in the country are used to doing. But if you offer as part of a package, hey, come to the city, go to the haunt, stay at this hotel, maybe do some other activities while you're in town... You know, it becomes a bigger thing, more bang for your buck, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go home after you're done with all that. That makes it less of, oh, yeah, we drove 5 hours to just do, you know, 30 minutes worth of haunt visits, which is pretty much exactly what we've had happen a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that's frustrating when that happens.
It is. And we've also had people, you know, from England show up at our little haunt.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
I don't
even know how they found us.
No, me neither, but, man. It's nuts. Know. They had fun, though.
They did.
All right, next up, area restaurants. This one to me is so obvious, I don't know why more haunts don't do it.
And this is something that Lafayette did.
Yeah, they did. This is where we got the idea from.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a haunt, get your ticket, get a discount at the nearby restaurant that is open during the hours you're open. And the idea here is go to the haunt, run around, scream your head off, work up an appetite, go eat pancakes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Basically it. And you can work it in the reverse where the restaurant promotes you to their daytime customers so they come back at night.
Right, exactly.
It can be a feedback loop between those two.
Yeah.
It's an easy partnership if the restaurant is open when you are open. That's the only caveat.
Really. Right.
Is if they're not open when you're open, it's not going to do them a whole hell of a lot of good for you to offer $5 a coupon for $5 off a meal or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just because... You know, they're not going to see a lot of direct traffic from that.
Right. And the one that we're thinking of in Lafayette that we saw this at first, the restaurant actually extended their hours for when the haunt was open, which is something that you could think about, too, proposing.
And they tacked on, like, 2 hours. It wasn't much. It didn't have to extend much.
No.
But they extended a couple of hours. And there were, I mean, that's the thing. We did go to the restaurant afterwards.
We did.
And we had some very good food. And there were other people from the haunt eating there. So apparently it was a successful cross-promotion, at least from the restaurant's perspective. I don't know how the haunt feels.
Right.
But they did well. The restaurant seemed to be doing well. So, yeah. And it's another thing. This adds more value to your customer's dollar. Because if they pay $25 for a ticket, we'll say, okay, it's $25, but they get $5 off the meal.
Mm-hmm.
That's as good as cash if they go afterward.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Next up.
All right. Fun parks and similar family attractions. Fun parks may be competition if they're open at the same time, but a lot of fun parks don't have Halloween nights. Yeah. They're smaller in nature than, you know, Universal. So
yeah. I really was twisted when I put this one in. I was really torn on how to think about it, because we've been to haunted houses at fun parks. We've been to several of those.
Yeah. But like Adventure Quest.
Yeah.
That's a family place. It's a big arcade.
Yeah.
It's an arcade / laser tag place.
/ go-kart, bumper car, maze, and other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So they would be appropriate to partner
with. And they have an escape room.
They do. They say, like, our escape room? Here, go try one that's more difficult at a haunted house. You know?
But no. But the problem is, obviously, that I talked about how haunts aren't competition. Fun parks can be.
Yeah.
People can choose to go to the local fun park instead of the local haunted house.
Right.
That is a decision people can and do make, especially depending upon their budgets.
Yeah.
So you have to be aware of that. But here's the thing, especially on weekends, fun parks are very often daytime-oriented attractions, daytime / after-school attractions. And that's something to think about, because that can be a great ally, basically. You tell people, hey, spend your day at Frankie's Fun Park or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Come to the haunt after. Or, if they are open when you're open, do the reverse. Come to the haunt, then hit the fun park after to blow off steam.
Yeah. I would love to see, like, one of the travel packages. Travel to our city. Stay at this hotel. Go to this theme park during the day and hit up the haunted house at night.
Yeah, I would absolutely swoon. This is a pipe dream, and I was going to get into this later, but no. You tripped into it. We're going to do it now. I would swoon if one of these field trips we do, like I think we're going to Ohio this year, is the plan. COVID stuff, everything's going to be involved.
Yeah, no,
if we're going anywhere, that's where we're trying to go.
Yeah.
But when we go on one of these trips, I would love for someone to offer me a package.
Yeah.
And say, look, here's the deal. For $400 a person or whatever, you get hotel for 3 nights, you get admission to these haunted attractions, plus this escape room, plus this fun park.
Exactly.
And just line up my weekend and fill it with awesomeness.
Exactly.
And like the closest we've experienced to that was a Lost Souls bus tour.
Right.
Which is amazing and awesome. Never going to say a bad thing about that. Highly recommend. But yeah, I could totally see that concept being expanded to like a vacation package deal, a weekend package.
Exactly. And I don't know why those don't exist, because there are enough people now who like Halloween and like going to haunted attractions that this should be doable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would probably overpay for that convenience, that level of convenience.
Yeah.
And part of that's because it takes the burden of planning off of me, because you've seen the way I plan haunt trips.
Yes.
Oh.
It's meticulous.
And it is hyper stressful for me. It is like the peak of stress planning those. Like, everything went off without a hitch on both the Atlanta and the Houston trip, but it was only through that meticulous planning it happened. So my God, it's so beautiful. But I would, you take that planning off of me, you remove that burden, and you fill my days, because that's one of the challenges we have when we go afield,
right?
Is We know what we're doing from 6 p.m. until 1 a.m.
Right.
We got that figured out.
Yeah.
What are we doing from when we get up to 6 p.m.?
Yeah, we wing it.
We wing it, and we see if there's an escape room about, or we see if there's a interesting bar or something we want to check out, like that place we found, you know, with all the bar games and all that. We'll try that, or something like that. We'll try to find what the pickle, what was that bar?
Chicken pickle?
Chicken and pickle, yeah. Yeah, that place. It's things like that. We will find it. It'd be nice to have that arranged. I mean, normally when I travel, I don't like packages.
Mm-hmm.
And like when we go to Budapest and when we went to Budapest and all that stuff.
That's because they're not targeted towards us.
Yeah. Well, and the main thing there is we like the openness and the ability to go do what we want. But when we're going on a haunt trip, we're there for the goddamn haunts. We know what we're there for.
Yeah.
And basically, the onus is on us to plan it, and that's rough, and that sucks, because that's not the fun part.
Right.
Take that away from me, give me the tickets, give me the package deal. I would swoon over that. But anyways, sorry about that. That was an aside. But hey, we got time. We're doing very, very well in time. But they can also, like I said, they can be a great ally. The main thing is just keep focused on the fact that unless you have a huge queue or a massive like haunt screen park or something, you're not going to be a full evening. And think about how long people actually spend in your haunt plus queue line time. Are they there? They'll be there any time between like 30 minutes to 2 hours, probably, in most cases. And that's not a full evening.
No, it's not.
If I arrive at 7 p.m. at your haunt right after dinner, right as you open, I'm out the door by 9, probably. And I'm probably looking for something else to do.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one of the things we forgot to mention with the hotel area is if your place sells alcohol.
Yeah.
Like the place we went to, the Scream Park in Texas, in Houston. That was a giant outdoor thing. It was a lot of fun. It was our last trip of the night because they had unlimited...
free beer.
Free beer. And
we partook.
We did. And there was a hotel right across the street, basically.
It was admittedly a highway.
Yeah. Still had to get a car.
Yeah, still, we took Uber or Lyft to it. Which, by the way, I guess that would be the 11th partner, ride-sharing apps.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even put them in there, but yeah.
Yeah, you should so definitely
you're getting a bonus.
Yeah, definitely do that.
Partner with Uber and Lyft. If nothing else, your haunt should absolutely have easy guidance for Uber and Lyft drivers.
Right.
Where to do the drop-off and pick-up. Like, the place we were talking about with the free beer in Houston. They had very clearly designated Uber and Lyft zones.
Yes.
And they did an amazing job of that. Because they knew some drunk assholes were going to be leaving there.
Well, yeah. Us. they were trying to offer that to people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was... so, yeah, basically... yeah, that's your free bonus 11th company to partner with. See if ride-sharing apps can work with you anyways. And if nothing else, like I said, you can definitely make it easier on the ride-sharing apps and encourage the drivers to want to take people there. Because one thing you got to remember the ride-sharing apps, if your haunt gets a reputation for being difficult to do pickups and drop-offs at, the people that are doing the Ubering can just tell you to go fuck yourself and they're not going to pick anyone up there. They can just decline that pickup.
Yeah, well, and because of surge pricing, it'd be nice if that partnering was in place well ahead of time so that your customers don't get jacked on their safe ride home.
Yeah, and the nights that haunts are open are going to be some peak times for surge pricing.
Exactly.
So, something else to think about. All right, number five. Other spooky attractions, and this can include almost anything. Oddity shops, weird museums, ghost tours, things like that. This is an obvious natural pairing, especially if those activities are available during the day. Like, I could totally see a haunt offering a discount at the local Curiosities or Oddity Shop. And then the Curiosity Shop having flyers for the haunt in the evening.
Yeah.
You're not competitors. Your hours probably aren't going to overlap much.
Right.
Just go for it.
Well, and not only that, but if you partner with a curiosity shop, you may even be able to co-sign some of their items for sale in your gift shop.
Exactly. And that goes back to gift shop blues and what we were talking about there.
Right.
But they need to up the gift shop game on a lot of attractions.
Yeah.
Go past just the merch booth and doing actual gift shop stuff.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, so consigning some of their stuff makes a lot of sense. Also, if your area has haunted history tours, which you're going to be surprised at the areas that have them. Like, New Orleans makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I totally get why we have them. But Charleston, South Carolina had them.
They kind of make sense.
I've seen them in, like, every remotely historic town.
Remotely historic and remotely tourist.
Yeah. So, definitely keep an eye out for those types of things. That's a good pairing, too. Yeah, the hours are going to overlap. Those typically run at night. But it's something else, especially if someone's spending a weekend.
Yeah. And it could be, you know, the ramp up to your haunt.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, basically similar to everything else we've been discussing, offer discounts, carry each other's flyers, basically collaborate and try to work out how you two can work together and boost each other. It could be a great thing. Number six.
All right, number six. Television and radio stations.
Yeah.
Something that many haunts already do.
And this is the one that I think I almost didn't include because it's like everyone seems to do this or a lot of people seem to do this.
Right.
but I don't think a lot of people take it to their full extent.
Right. No, I agree with you. Like, I remember when Chambers Horror, when they were in La Paz, they partnered with one of the TV stations. And because they were able to shoot a promo video with the Saints in their graveyard scene, the TV camera put up zone cameras so that you could watch the haunted house as it was going on.
Scare cams, yeah.
Yeah, the scare cams.
Yeah, it's an interesting, that was an interesting idea. And basically, the whole partnership cost them nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, because they already had the graveyard. Graveyard was there before they shot the commercial. They just had to break out the fog machines a few weeks early and help them film the commercial.
Yeah.
So yeah, but partnering with local TV and radio stations is a great idea. And like she said, TV stations may need a place to shoot commercials and bumpers and things like that during the Halloween season. And they can offer your haunt free promotion, whether it's free commercial time or a free package like you described that Chamber of Horrors did, which was where they got the presentation on the website and the scare cam footage and all that. One or the other, you can work out something. And also, I've got to say, don't underestimate radio stations either. Radio is still surprisingly big, and a lot of them still do the live broadcast from time to time. Now, yeah, I know most radio stations these days are automatically pre-programmed from somewhere like in Bangladesh or something. They're all pre-programmed in computers and all over the beaming all over the world or something. It's terrible what they've done to music, but the local, truly local radio stations still do these live broadcasts, still do awesome things in the community. So invite them to your haunt one of the days you're open. Have them come and do a live broadcast. Have them talk to your customers. Have them play music and entertain the queue line.
Yeah.
Have them do little giveaways and stuff.
Yeah, interview your queue line actors.
Yeah. And that gets you out on the radio and gets interest. And like I said, do not underestimate the reach of radio.
No.
Do not underestimate it.
I'm one of those weird people that still listens to it whenever
you
I
know,
drive.
You know, the numbers say you're not that weird, though, is the problem.
Well, everybody I talk to that's our age and younger thinks I'm weird. But
I don't think you are. I think the numbers point that more... And the thing is, I think more people listen to radio than realize they listen to radio.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's just a convenience thing.
Yeah. Well, you listen to radio when you go into stores. You listen to radio when you're in other people's houses or cars or whatever. Everybody listens to radio, they just may not realize it when they're doing it.
Yeah, we need to maybe look at who produces those CDs that are played at some stores.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, Michael's, whenever I worked there, they had a CD that you'd play for the month. Mm-hmm. It was one CD for the month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But anyways, it's a great partnership all around, those two. Yeah. Okay. Next up, local movie theaters / stage theaters. I wanted to lump these together because a lot of the benefits are the same here.
Right.
But basically, what goes better with a haunt than a spooky movie or a spooky theatrical performance?
Yeah.
Basically, offer discounts and package deals for tickets to both. Mm-hmm. And encourage people to go from one to the other. And one thing I would love to see happen locally is, like, one of the area haunts, probably Mortuary, sounds like the one that would be less likely to do this, offering a deal where you get a ticket and then a midnight showing at the Britannia.
Yeah.
Because they're close.
With the Rocky troupe.
Yeah, with the Rocky, maybe on the Rocky Horror Night. Or, you know, or they could just do some cult horror film.
Yeah.
I would love that. And similarly, you can do the same thing with theatrical performances, too, especially since theatrical performances often are done before the haunt closes.
Right.
So it's possible to go to the theater and then the haunt.
Yeah, or, well, yeah, especially if there's, like, a matinee, if you do a special for their matinee show. Because a lot of times, theaters putting on spookier or Halloween-themed plays during the day, they don't get as big of an audience.
Yeah.
Because people want to go to those things at night. But if you partner with them and say, hey, you get $5 off if you go to the earlier one and then come to us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of ways you can make this work. And the bonus of working with the theater team is obviously you might have help with the haunt inbound.
Exactly. You might get volunteers or new cast members.
Or people who have built sets and things like that. You might get help with the haunt that you didn't expect.
Yeah.
So just something to think about. But I think theaters, and the key here is local theaters in both cases.
Right.
You need local, like, and I know local movie theaters are a dying breed. We have a few here.
Yeah.
We have Broad Street Theater, mm-hmm. and we have Britannia. And those are the only two I think we have locally that are locally owned.
Zeitgeist.
Oh, the Zeitgeist. I forget about that because that's the weird indie one, but, you know, it is a theater.
Yeah, it is. Well, and that also has the people who I would think were more inclined to go to Haunted House.
I agree. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. But also don't forget about your school theater programs, college and high school, because, you know, you might be able to get some theater kids on board.
Yep. Okay, number eight.
All right. Early. Number eight, burlesque troops.
Yeah. I didn't mean to make that sound as creepy as I did. I swear I did not. Yeah.
All right. So.
On that awkward note.
Yeah, exactly. Combo for show deals, because there are a lot of troops here in New Orleans. But here's the thing about them is that a lot of their cast members rotate out which nights that they perform. And you want contortionist or, you know, high flyers, that kind of thing. Burlesque incorporates that. And if they don't, they know the circus troops in the area. And mm-hmm. circus troops should be bunched in with the burlesque community.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
For this purpose. Not normal. But, yeah, so they are very busy during October.
Yes.
But oftentimes they will end before the haunt ends.
And like you said, this is something where you can offer deals where you go to their show and then the haunt or vice versa or something like that.
Yeah.
You can collaborate or you go to the burlesque show Friday, the haunt Saturday in some cases. Mm-hmm. There's ways to make that work. And the two have a natural pairing.
Right.
But the other thing is burlesque. I've seen several haunts that use burlesque performers or circus troupe performers as entertainment in the queue line.
Yes.
And so this is a great way to obtain those types of performers, is to partner with them and support their troupe and maybe consider bringing some of them in to help entertain the queue line.
Right. And this year is going to be especially important to get those
to get those
partnerships solidified early.
Yeah.
You know, because we're going to need all the help we can get to get through this if we're opening.
Well, and queue lines are going, the lines are going to be significantly longer this year if we're not moving to time ticketing.
Right.
If we're moving to time ticketing, then lines will be much less. But if we're not, queue lines are going to be longer because we have to let smaller groups in. We can't put people with strangers.
Yeah.
Things like that. So expect, you know, your throughput to go.
Yeah, exactly.
And expect, you know, the physical space you have for your queuing to also go.
Mm-hmm.
So be thinking about that.
Yeah.
Number nine, local bands and artists. We've actually talked about the artist side of it with Gift Shop Blues, again, going back to that one. But local bands are another great source in which you should consider partnering with. Basically, this one goes well beyond just reduced ticket prices and one-ticket deals. You have a lot of ways this partnership can come together. Have them make music for your haunt or your haunt's commercial.
Mm-hmm.
In exchange, sell their CDs at your merch booth. Yeah. Promote them with posters and things like that.
And by the way, Gift Shop Blues was episode 190 if you haven't listened to it.
Cool. But yeah, long story short, you can do a lot with a local band. And it's like a lot of haunts, they have the Midnight Syndicate music. They put in the Midnight Syndicate poster. They get the free music. And I mean, Midnight Syndicate's great. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be really cool if you partner with a local band?
Yeah.
And promoted someone in your hometown. I guess if Midnight Syndicate is in your hometown, then that's the...
Well, yeah.
Then that's different. Yeah. But, you know, I think it'd be really cool to incorporate music from local acts into your haunt.
Right. And we know several of the local haunts that do this. They have, you know, local bands perform before opening or during opening.
Mm-hmm.
And people, fans for the bands, do show up.
Yeah.
You know, and they will buy your merch and they will buy your food. Even if they don't go in the haunted house, they're still there. They're giving you a crowd and they're participating.
Yeah.
And they're spending money.
Yeah. They're spending. Yeah, even if they don't buy a ticket, they're still spending money on the property.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you have a stage set up or the ability to set up a stage in the area, like I know Scout Island does it. 13th Gate does it. Mm-hmm. House of Shock, when they were open, did it. New Orleans Nightmare does not. Mortuary doesn't have anywhere to put a goddamn band.
No.
And they're using every inch of that plot.
Yeah.
And I don't think Rise has yet.
Right.
But hey, if you're listening, mm-hmm. got an idea for you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what's better to go with local bands than local radio stations?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that natural pairing between yep. those two that you could, you know, have a, we have here what's a homegrown hour on one of the local stations. Mm-hmm. They go over to Tipitina's. They do all homegrown bands. So that's something to consider.
Yeah. And finally, the number 10. It's any company that you get service from, that you buy things from or get service from. I didn't know how to phrase this one. But basically, pull out your accounts payable book. Who are you giving money to locally? Anyone. It could literally be anyone. It could be the landscaper. Mm-hmm. It could be your general contractor. It could be the plumber that put in the bloody sprinkler system. It could be the payroll, a company that does payroll for you, the HR. It could be your lawyer.
Yeah.
Anyone. It could be literally anyone.
Yeah.
And basically, see if there's a way to partner with them, and so that you reduce your costs, they give you X discount, and in exchange, you put them on your haunt poster. You put their signs up in the queue line. You give them promotion. And if you have attract thousands of people to your haunt, that promotion has potential real value to them.
Right. Well, I was also thinking that if you had someone build your website for you, yeah. make sure that you are in their portfolio of websites.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Things like that. These are our customers. And you can do that with many of the mm-hmm. businesses you just mentioned, too.
Yeah. Yeah, make sure, talk to these companies and see if there's a way to increase the closeness of that relationship. Don't, you know, we're terrible. We just pay some guy through an iPhone app to mow our yard. Mm-hmm. And he comes and he does a great job. But, yeah, we're the laziest people on this front. Don't be like us. Basically, find these companies, and if you're happy with them and you like their service, try to find ways to deepen that relationship.
Yeah, and well, one of the reasons we don't do that is because we cannot have any appearance of being a business.
Yeah,
so we can't partner with businesses.
Yeah, but
so that's different for home haunts than it is for...
Yeah, obviously.
For pro ones.
But seriously, just think about the ways you can deepen these relationships and possibly get more. And think about it like this. You know their service, you know their product, you know what they do. Mm-hmm. So you know your reputation isn't going to be tarnished because you have them on your poster.
Right.
You know, or because you have their sign up in the queue line.
Exactly.
They're not going to tarnish you. So it's definitely a win-win for you, I think, with that.
Yep.
And a lot of haunts have been pretty good about that. I like it when I see haunt posters that have sponsored by, like all these images. That's great. And here's the thing. Just because they have a link in this, I've, through my day job, Copybyte, mm-hmm. I think Copybyte and Plagiarism Today, I think I've sponsored like half a dozen things, and I've never paid for any of them. Some I paid by offering some of my time for free. A couple of them I didn't do a goddamn thing at all. They just wanted me as a sponsor and were willing to put me up there for nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But just because someone is a sponsor doesn't mean they pay cash money for that.
Mm-hmm.
They could pay in trade. They could pay and reduce prices.
Right.
So, yeah, think about it. Basically, this is a way to reduce your costs while supporting the local companies that you already use and love.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that is the 10 suggestions we have. Returning to the question of the week, though, I'm excited. You've been typing furiously on your phone.
I do.
I am excited to hear what everyone else's haunt snack is.
Well, first off, though, okay. I'm going to say that Sam Farrell agrees with us about partnering and that no partnership is too small.
Bingo, thank you.
With haunts and with, you know, businesses.
Yeah, and that's one thing. Don't, especially with the haunts, don't get into this pissing contest where, oh, we're not going to partner with them. They're too small.
Yeah.
A, the haunts that's small this year could be the big fucking dog next year.
Exactly.
Haunts grow.
Yep.
So, and if they're a small one, they've only got one direction to go.
Right,
that's
exactly.
up. It's yep. up or out, basically. And the other one is, even if it is an unbalanced partnership, you still gain. If they send one extra person to your haunt, that's still one more than you had.
Yeah.
They're not taking away from you.
Right,
they're
exactly.
still adding.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree completely.
All right, so back to the question of the week. Haunt foods.
Haunt foods.
Okay.
I want to get hungry. Let's go.
All right. So, Michael, Dado or Dado, I'm sorry. I'm not sure based on the spelling. Apples. Ooh. Loves apples because they're energy packed.
Yes, they are.
Into tasty little packages. And they are very affordable. So, yes, I agree with that.
That's a good point. I'm not wrong with that. I wouldn't mind apple slices, actually, for me.
Yeah.
Just because my only problem with apples is a hot food is the same problem with the meat on a stick. What do you do with a stick in the core?
Right, exactly.
After you're done.
Well, anyway, you throw them in a trash can.
Oh, yeah, I
do. That's what you do.
Hopefully. Oh, if only hot.
Greg Reinhart, in a similar vein, said caramel apples, which I love caramel apples. I rarely get them. But if I'm going to, it will be around haunt season.
Yes.
Bill Ritchie said Halloween candy Tootsie Rolls. He has a big bag of them he uses.
You may be the first person I've heard to come out and rock in defense of Tootsie Rolls. I'm just going to say, like, everyone I know is like, that's just chocolate wax. I'm like, no, it's actually really good. I love Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, yeah.
I steal Tootsie Roll from the
trick-or-treat.
You found
a friend when you
Yes, I did. I found a fellow Tootsie lover. I steal the fucking Tootsie Rolls out of the candy we get trick-or-treaters.
You do. And the chocolate ones, not the fruit-flavored ones.
The fruit-flavored ones are abominations for man and God.
No, they aren't. They're delicious.
Okay, go on. Next up.
We have a haunt actor and I who split them up because, you know, otherwise I wouldn't get any of them.
Bastardization of the Tootsie Roll.
Well, that might be true, but they're still tasty.
Anyway.
Okay, Courtney Myers said mini donuts. Her favorites are either at the Headless Horseman in New York or Netherworld in Georgia.
You know, it's interesting. The trend I'm seeing is every haunter here is either going extreme healthy or extreme not healthy.
Yeah.
I like light fruits and vegetables is my haunt. I like eating mini donuts.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a thing to be said for fresh-made mini donuts whenever you go to visit a haunt.
Yeah, or a Renfest in our case. We get the fresh-made donuts at the local Renfest.
Yeah, well, we did.
We did, yeah.
So Sam Farrell said pumpkin spice fudge from Tweetsie's Railroad's Ghost Trail event.
Mm.
Which, so that sounds yummy and sounds like something Ellie would totally be
into. I was
about
to say, if Ellie's watching this, I think she just got in her car and drove off to go get some pumpkin spice fudge.
Yeah, pumpkin spice fudge sounds yummy.
Ellie is completely bananas over pumpkins. She would eat pumpkin spice bananas.
Oh, yeah, that would probably be pretty good. But while working, coffee is the answer.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair.
Matt Lennox is pizza.
Pizza's always good. Pizza's good for anything. Yep. Pizza's just universal, though.
Yep, and Japes has cucumber lime Gatorade.
Okay, going back to the either extremely unhealthy.
And he doesn't usually eat,
Yeah, well, and knowing his outfit and his makeup, I understand why. It'd be difficult and complicated, too. I know the last thing I shovel in my face before I put on the mask, because I can't eat with a mask on, is, like I said, meat on a stick and some of Ellie's bowel.
Right.
And that's usually counts as my dinner.
Yeah.
And then post-haunting, it's usually whatever. It's usually first a couple of glasses of water to replace the sweat I just poured out of my mask.
Yeah.
And then whatever beer we have on hand.
Right.
Usually, by that point, it's the St. Adams Winter Pack.
Yes, the Oktoberfest.
Oh, it's Oktoberfest. Usually, it's weird. Oktoberfest beer season is like mid-October. Usually, the Oktoberfest is getting hard to find by Halloween, though.
Yeah, but we do have a lot of Gatorade and vitamin water and stuff around during season.
Oh, yeah. We got our vitamins and minerals and all that electrolyte stuff. We got all that going on.
Yeah.
Well, that, I think, is all the time we have.
Yeah.
I think that was a very good episode. Yes. Hopefully, some of y'all will be thinking more about how you can partner with other businesses, especially other haunts. You know, and that's just it. Other haunts are not your competition, guys. I'm serious. That mindset's got to die.
Yeah.
But on that note, everyone, thank you for spending the past hour with us. We greatly enjoyed having you, whether you joined us in the chat or you're joining us on the recorded episode. Appreciate having you. Appreciate you spending an hour with us. You can find more of us at hauntweekly.com or hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook. And on said Facebook page every Sunday, 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, we are doing these episodes live. So you can come join us, join the chat, get involved in the question of the week, and tell us what your favorite hot, random hot thing is.
Yeah.
So, yes, we'll be doing that every go-around. Also, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All the previous episodes are there. Also, anywhere you get podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, so on and so on and so on, feel free to find us there. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next week. I have no idea what the topic will be. We're working on some stuff. Got some stuff in the crock pot, but I don't want to promise anything yet because we haven't gotten any guarantees.
Well, yeah, that's why we're so late announcing this week.
Yeah, because we've been trying to get things to come together, and yeah. It's scheduling is hard. So, anyways, we'll see you guys next week.